Reading from Colossians chapter 1, from verse 15. Who is image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, because by him were created all things, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all, and all things subsist together by him. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross. By him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens, and you who once were alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now has it reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it, if indeed you abide in the faith founded and firm, and not moved away from the hope of the glad tidings which you have heard, which have been proclaimed in the whole creation which is under heaven, for which I, Paul, became minister. Now I rejoice in sufferings for you, and I fill up that which is behind of the tribulations of Christ in my flesh, for his body, which is the assembly of which I became minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given me towards you to complete the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, to the end that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto also I toil, combating according to his working, which works in me in power.
As mentioned yesterday, the general theme of the section that's in front of us today is glories. In three sections, the passage would perhaps naturally divide itself for our consideration: the glories of the person of Christ, and then the glories of the work of Christ, and then the glory of the mystery, or, as it says, the riches of the glory.
زي ما قلنا امبارح هذا الجزء اللي قريناه بيتكلمنا عن الامجاد اولا امجاد شخص المسيح ثم امجاد عمل المسيح ثم امجاد السر او زي ما هو مكتوب غنى مجد هذا السر.
In respect of the first of these, some of these things are well known, particularly to any who have looked at Colossians in detail before. We see the glory of the Lord Jesus in two characters presented as firstborn: the firstborn of all creation, and then firstborn from among the dead.
نشوف في بالنسبة لأمجاد المسيح نشوف إنه أمجاده في اتجاهين. الاتجاه الأول هو أنه بكر كل خليقة، ثم الشيء الثاني إنه هو بكر من الأموات.
With respect to the glories of his work, we see reconciliation presented in two ways. Again, firstly in relation to the whole of creation, and then secondly in relation to individual believers of the assembly.
أما بالنسبة لعمل المسيح فنشوف برضه أمجاده لها وجهتين، الوجه الأول بالنسبة لمصالحة الخليقة ككل، والثانية هي مصالحة المؤمنين أو المؤمن كفرد.
And then leading into the third, we see the two ministries of the Apostle Paul. The first one in relation to the whole of creation, the gospel, and then the second in relation to the assembly, again, the mystery.
ثم بعد كده نشوف وجهتين لخدمة الرسول بولس، خدمة متعلقة بالخليقة كلها، وصول الإنجيل المكروز به في كل الخليقة، ثم خدمة أخرى متعلقة بالسر الذي هو الكنيسة.
So keeping an outline in mind, again, I think we'll have opportunity to work through the passage before us within the time allocated.
ربي يا نعمة نحن نقدر نتأمل في كل هذه الأفكار في الوقت اللي قدامنا.
Regarding his glories, we should not stop not to point to the two different parts of glories that the Lord enjoyed, as our brother mentioned, to the glories that he acquired as a result of his work on the cross, but in John 17, the Lord mentioned in his prayer to the Father that he loves to show us his glory that has been for him before his being a son of man.
بالنسبة لأمجاد الرب يسوع، مهم نحن نعرف أن الرب له مجدين، المجد الذي كان له قبل إنشاء العالم، والمجد الذي صار له بعد التجسد وإكمال عمل الفداء.
The passage we have before us starts off with Christ being the image of the invisible God. We know from the Old Testament that no one can see God at any time and live. But God is grace. As John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And later on, Christ can say, He who has seen me has seen the Father. He was a representative of the Father on earth.
في بداية الكلام نقرأ عن أن الرب يسوع الذي هو صورة الله غير المنظور، نعرف من العهد القديم أنه لا يستطيع أحد أن يرى الله ويعيش أو يحيا، لكن الكلمة الذي صار جسدا وحل بيننا، والرب نفسه قال من رآني فقد رأى الآب. فصورة الله غير المنظور بمعنى هو ممثل الله أو تعبير عن الله.
The firstborn of all creation speaks of his incarnation, doesn't it? The firstborn of all creation speaks of his incarnation. No.
You better tell us what's in your mind, Carson.
She doesn't speak that. She doesn't say anything.
Well, it doesn't, I think.
It is not the union as we see in the firstborn from among the dead. That speaks of union. We all are reconciled with God, pardon me, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are made one with Him because of His death and His resurrection. But when we see Him as the one who is the firstborn of all creation, that is, the eternal Son becoming man and became flesh, and that does not speak of union, but it speaks of that He is the first one, the first in the rank of all creation.
And we say the firstborn of the spiritual creation.
Yes, but He was also the creator of the physical creation, not the spiritual. And He's always the firstborn in that. Later on, in the day to come, He will manifest this to the universe. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings.
Just to be able to translate for the class, so if you just make it a bit clearer to me. So did you mean that he's become the firstborn of all creation at the point of incarnation? At the time of incarnation?
Yes, there's an indication of it. When he became man.
Now, so this is the time when he's become the firstborn of all creation, at the time of appearing in the flesh?
Yes.
Right. I'll just translate that. في فكرين بكر كل خليقة بكلاس بيقولنا إن هو ده بيتكلم عن التجسد. أما بكر من الأموات بيتكلم عن كونه البكر من بين الأموات ونشوف فيه وحدتنا معاه باعتبار أن احنا متنا معاه وقمنا معاه. طبعا بكر من الأموات معناها بيتكلم عن القيامة، فنحن قمنا معاه واتحدنا معاه في هذا الفكر.
I mention this because so often in Christianity, people say the Lord became flesh and therefore we are united with Him. But that is not so in reality. We are united with Him because He died and rose again. And in Him, through that, we are one with Him.
So the idea here is related to the topic of unity. إن إحنا غير متحدين معه في الخليقة، لكن هناك اتحاد معه في كوننا الخليقة الجديدة بموتنا وقيامتنا معه.
أقدر ألخص أمجاد المسيح في الأصحاح الأول في 7 أمجاد. نمرة 1 في علاقته بالآب ابن محبته. نمرة 2 في علاقته باللاهوت هو صورة الله غير المنظور. زي ما سمعنا أنه الممثل والمعبر عن الله قبل التجسد وبعد التجسد. نمرة 3 بكر كل خليقة، على قد ما أنا فاهم أنه بتعني صاحب السمو عن كل خليقته باعتباره هو الخالق لكل الخليقة.
I can say in this part, or the chapter 1 of Colossians, the glories of the Lord Jesus appearing in 7 aspects. The first one is being the son of His love. The second one being He is the impression of the deity, and in we see that He is the image of the invisible God. And then we see the third one being the firstborn of all creation, which gives Him the place of supremacy or preeminence, being the creator Himself.
النمرة 4 رأس الجسد الكنيسة في علاقته بالكنيسة.
And number 4 is the being the head of the body, that's in His relation to the church.
نمرة 5 البداءة، بداءة الخليقة الجديدة في علاقته بالخليقة الجديدة.
And then number 5 that He is being the beginning, this is in verse 17, that's in relation to the new creation.
نمرة 6 بكر من الأموات.
And number 6 being firstborn from the dead.
باعتباره باكورة الراقدين.
Being the firstborn of those who sleep.
نمرة 7 ليكون هو متقدما في كل شيء، يعني صاحب المكان الأول.
And number 7 that he would be the he would have the preeminence.
Perhaps need to come back to Klaus's point because I noticed several eyebrows being raised. In verse 16, we get the reason why the Lord Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. It says, because He created it all. That's why He's the firstborn of all creation.
في عدد 16 يقول لنا ليه السبب هو بكر الخليقة؟ لأنه في الواقع هو اللي خلقها كلها، فبالتالي لابد أن يكون هو بكر كل خليقة.
The point that Klaus was making that I think we need not to misunderstand is that He took that place in outward display when He became a man. It wasn't by becoming a man that He achieved that glory. That glory was His as the Creator. But by becoming a man, He displayed that. If the Creator steps into His creation, of course He must take the highest place, the most exalted place, the place of the firstborn.
عشان كده معنى بكر كل خليقة ده مجده كالخالق في البداية، لكن هذا المجد استعلن بتجسد الرب وقت ما جه للعالم.
it's an important point to understand as well, because one of the delusions that is amongst Christianity or amongst religious circles is that because Christ came, we are automatically associated with God.
ده كمان يوضح لنا انه الفكر الخاطئ اللي موجود في عند البعض في المسيحيه بالذات انه لانه بمجرد تجسد المسيح احنا ارتبطنا بيه وده مش غير صحيح.
And the apostle is going to highlight for them to avoid this danger because he presents Christ firstly as he is firstborn of creation. But our relationship with Christ in a united sense is only because he is firstborn from the dead.
ورسول يوضح لهم الفكر ده يقول لهم انه ارتباطنا بالمسيح ما جاش عن طريق كونه بكر كل خليقه لكن جه عن طريق بكر من الاموات. ده الفكر اللي وضحه لنا قبل كده برادر كلاس على انه دي الوحده اللي جات لنا في كوننا بكر من في كوننا من بكر من الاموات.
And that's why we have the gospel, because the gospel brings those who are dead into a living relationship with the firstborn.
عشان كده هو لدينا الإنجيل اللي بيستحضر الأموات لكي يكونوا في الأحياء في علاقة مع هذا البكر.
Many will have heard this several times before, but the firstborn one is not necessarily the first one born.
يمكن سمعنا الكلام ده قبل كده كتير انه البكر مش بالضروره هو الشخص الذي قد ولد اولا.
That's a translation, not admitting.
That's all right. زمنيا يعني.
And the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis gives us that truth over and over and over again where the first one born was not the firstborn one.
وسفر التكوين بالذات هو سفر البدايات يورينا مرارا وتكرارا انه الشخص اللي ولد اولا او اللي هو الاكبر مش بالضروره هو البكر.
And the one that comes to mind most obviously is Jacob with the two sons of Joseph. Perhaps the only recorded mistake that Joseph ever made was when he said to Jacob, "Oh no, no, that one's the firstborn."
ونشوف الفكر ده واضح في بالذات في موضوع أولاد يوسف لما جه الرب يبارك أولاده وحط إيديه كده أولاد يعقوب يبارك أولاد يوسف ويوسف قال له لا يا رب يا يعقوب مش كده يمكن دي الغلطة الوحيدة اللي عملها أو تسجلها الوحي عن يوسف قال له لا ده جاه البكر.
And if we go back even further, the first man ever born into this world, the first son of Adam and Eve, certainly did not have the place of the firstborn.
وأول شخص ولد لآدم وحواء بالتأكيد لم يكن له مكان البكر، لم يحتل مكان البكر.
We go to Psalm 89, wonderful scripture where God says concerning David, what was he, number 7 or number 8 of Jesse? I will make him my firstborn.
كمان مزمور 89 بيتكلم عن داود الملك بيقول أنا سوف أجعله بكري.
بكرا أعلى من ملوك.
بكرا أعلى من ملوك الأرض. وطبعا بالتأكيد ديفيد كان داود كان أصغر أخواته السبعة.
So far from being anything like the nonsense that the Jehovah's Witnesses might portray, the Lord Jesus was not the first of God's created beings. He was not the first one created by God. He was the Creator. And as the Creator, He has the highest and most exalted place.
وده طبعا يوضح لنا ده تعليم شهودية هو تعليم مشوه ان الرب يسوع باعتباره بكر كل خليقة بيقولوا عنه ان هو اول من خلقه الله لكن ده بالتأكيد نعرف من هنا حتى في العادات اللي بعدها على طول لا مش هو اول من خلق لكن هو كان الخالق ذلك.
And that's a piece of homework for us that the principle that Greg has just drawn out. In the book of Genesis, there are 7 examples of this. And we won't go through them. Greg's given us two. There are five more examples in the book of Genesis of the firstborn not being the one who takes the prime place. And so maybe during the weekend we can get together and discuss all seven examples.
الأخ ريك وضح لنا اثنين من الحالات اللي حصل فيها أنه الشخص الذي ولد أولا لم يحتل مكان البكر لكن سفر التكوين يورينا سبع أمثلة كذا ويمكن ده يكون الواجب بتاعنا اللي نعمله في البيت في الأجازة في الويكند نحن نحاول ندور عليهم لكن ممكن يكون لنا اجتماع بعد كذا ونتأمل في هذه الأمور.
So there is also supporting that's spoke as well in Revelation 3 verse 14 in the words to the angel of the church of Laodicea. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation, He is the source, He is the originator.
ذات الفكر كمان نشوفه انه في كتابة الى ملاك كنيسة اللودوكيين رؤية 3-14 وهناك هذا يقول الامين الشاهد الامين الصادق بدأت خليقة الله. طبعا هنا بدأ مش معناها انه اللي خلق الاول لكن برضه هو الذي ابتدأ الخليقة الذي خلقها نفسه.
امثال 8 بيؤكد نفس الفكر يقول لما ثبت السماوات كنت هناك أنا كنت عنده صانعا خالقا وكنت كل يوم لذاته.
Also in Proverbs chapter 8 is that when he established the earth and heaven, just looking for the verse
35.
Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. So I was there. And verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So there before the earth and heaven were established, I was there and I was his delight.
مزمور 102 الآب يخاطب ابنه ويقول له من أنت يا رب في البدء أسست الأرض والسماوات هي عمل يديك.
Also Psalm 102, God the Father speaking to the Son, saying to him. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. They will perish, but you will endure. This is again the Father speaking to the Son.
But if we're standing up and sing song there, where it says, He lifted me up and cast me down. That is spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
في نفس المزمور لما بيتكلم عن حملتني وطرحتني بيتكلم عن الرب يسوع المسيح.
We have lots of competition from the clock this morning. Sorry, John.
I was going to say, we read in these verses, or we get an impression of the greatness, the glory of our Lord Jesus. We've said already that He is the Creator. He is before all things. He is the head of the body. All these wonderful verses of the Lord Jesus. We read in Philippians that He is one who is now highly exalted. And the impression of the thought I want to get across is the wonder of this person. We read of his greatness, of his glories, of his exaltation, and yet he was the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is the one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And just the wonder of this person, our Saviour, our Lord Jesus, of his glory, his greatness, and yet he humbled himself. And I think it's something that we need to remind ourselves of again and again, the wonder of our Lord Jesus.
هذا أمر يدعو للعجب فعلا أنه هذا الشخص الذي هو صورة الله غير المنظور ذكر كل خليقة الخالق لكل شيء كل أمجاد المتعددة هو ذات الشخص الذي وضع نفسه وأضع حتى الموت موت الصليب لكن نعرف أن رفعه الله أعطاه مجدا بحسب اكتمال عمل الفداء لكن أديه فكرة محتاجين أن احنا يشغل أفكارنا وذلك الشخص المجيد هو ذاته الذي تضع من أجل عمل الصليب.
So this psalm expressed what a job is confirmed again in Psalm 102 or verse 24, where you read, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And that is what the Lord actually spoke to the Father. And then the Father answers, and thy days are throughout all generations. And there it comes, this eternal Godhead to the cause. And verse 25, again the thought of creation, of old thou hast made, spoken to the Son, the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands.
ذات الفكر تشوف الاثنين مع بعض العمل الفداء مع عمل الخليقة في مزمور 102 عدد 24 يقول له أقول يا إلهي لا تقبضني في نصف أياني ده الموت موت الصليب أما عدد 25 يشوفه مجدك الخالق الآب يقول له من قدم أسست الأرض والسماوات في عمل يديك.
There's an aspect of this just before we go on to his redemptive work. In verse 17, it says, he is before all, and all things subsist together by him. Wonder if we can just look in the book of Job and the words of Elihu in Job 34. In the book of Job, verse 34, verse 14, it's part of a passage, it says, if he only thought of himself and gathered unto him his spirit and his breath, all flesh would expire together, and man would return to the dust.
في عدد 17 يقول الذي هو قبل كل شيء وفيه يقوم الكل لو رحنا لأيوب 34 عدد 14 يقول إن جعل عليه قلبه إن جمع إلى نفسه روحه ونسمته يسلم الروح كل بشر جميعا ويعود الإنسان إلى التراب.
We are sitting here breathing alive at the moment because of the Lord Jesus and his preeminent place in creation.
احنا دلوقتي جالسين هنا في مكاننا احياء نتنفس لان المسيح واخد مكانه باعتباره الخالق بياخد مكانه في كالمتقدم لكل شيء. ودي معنى كلمة فيه يقوم الكل.
فيه خلق الكل وفيه يقوم الكل. فيه خلق الكل بمعنى بمقتضى ما فيه من قدرة وحكمة. فيه يقوم الكل مش بس الإنسان عايش وكائن وبيتنفس وبيتحرك على الأرض لكن كل ما يدور في الأفلاك متظبط في مكانه وفي مداراته بمقتضى ما فيه من قدرة. هو الحافظ هو الخالق هو الحامل لكل الأشياء بكلمة قدرته.
All things were created through him and in him all things consist. Through him we can show in it His own power being the creator, the one who created things by his in his own power being the creator, but in him all things consist. He's the one who is maintaining the whole things. He's the one who is upholding them all together, all running in all different circles, different paths, and he's holding all them together.
This would be an expression of the first preposition mentioned in regard to his glory as creator in verse 16.
ده ياخدنا للحروف الجر اللي موجودة في هذا الجزء فيما يختص به كالخالق أول واحدة في عدد 16.
Verse 16, literally, the preposition is in him were all things created. And then it ends with another two, all things were created by him and for him. So we have in him, by him, and for him.
في عدد 16 يقول فيه خلق الكل وبعدين نشوف في بداية العدد في نهاية العدد نشوف الكل به قد خلق وبعدين نشوف كمان الكل له قد خلق.
The first one being the most difficult to understand, the apostle expands on it and describes it a little bit in verse 17 with the words we've just been speaking about.
أول واحدة اللي هي صعب فهمها اللي هي نشوف فيها بعد 17 أو يشرح رسول أكثر بعد 17 اللي كنا لسه بنتكلم عنه.
By him he is the instrument of creation, the one who did it. For him he is the object of creation, the one who is deserves to possess it. In him a little more difficult.
فالكل به هو كان أداة الخليقة بمعنى إنه هو كان الأخنوم الذي خلق. في أما له قد خلق طبعا معروف أنه خلقت له من أجل استمتاع أو إعلان مجده.
Part of it involves that creation continuing to subsist depends on him.
جزء منها أن الخليقة مستمرة في وضعها الحالي أنها معتمدة عليه هو اللي متحكم فيه.
But also, it flows from the very first point that Phil drew our attention to the Lord Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Also, in a certain respect, creation expresses him. There's an expression of his own being and personality in creation.
أما في حاجة تاني كمان إنه الكلمة اللي قرناها أو الفكرة اللي سمعنا عنه في الأول صورة الله غير المنصور هو ممثل الله الخليقة كمان هي تمثيل له أو تعبير عنه.
Remember our brother Edwin Cross traveling with a Hindu taxi driver with one of his images of his deities hanging off the mirror of his taxi. So
كان آخر مسافر في الهند مع في تاكسي وبعدين كان شايف صاحب التاكسي معلق صورة كده أو زي تمثال صغير عن الإله بتاعهم فبيقول له إن الإله بتاعهم صورته قبيح.
How many times have we been impressed with the beauties of creation, reflective of something, even in its spoiled form, reflective of something of the beauty of the Creator?
بتشوف في خليقة الله رغم إنه فيها كثير من الحاجات المظاهر المدمرة أو المتعبة أحياناً لكن بنشوف فيها على بعضها جمال الخالق وكمال الخالق.
But it's not just the visible things. He says the visible and the invisible. There's something about creation that scientists can explain by theories. The inverse square law representing the forces of attraction, whether in electromagnetism, whether in magnetism, electrostatic forces, gravitational forces, they can all be described by scientific theories and formulas, but nobody can explain how it possibly happens. One thing attracted to another. The very principle of attraction is an expression of the glory of the Creator.
Sure, I need a scientist for that, but sorry. الخليقة اللي بنشوفها اللي بيحاول الإنسان يوضحها بقوانين المغناطيسية والكهربية المغناطيسية وقوانين الجاذبية كلها ما تفسرش بوضوح قد إيه عمل الله في الخليقة هذا الإعجاز اللي موجود ده مجرد ملخص للي اتقال يعني.
In the book of John, chapter 1, when we speak about in him and all everything was created through him, in the book of John, it was clearly said He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that he was made. In him was life, and the life was the life of men. When we speak about the creation is made the life which the Lord Jesus gives. When Adam was fell in the Garden of Eden, all the creation is judged with this. This was come through. But through the Lord Jesus, life was come. And as we know in the same chapter, he was in the bosom of the Father, but he declared the Father when he emptied himself and come with his word. In him was life. That's what we speak about the first creation. Everything was made through him. And Timothy says, what a great mystery God manifested in the flesh. In him was life. That's what we have life, eternal life, by accepting by faith his salvation to us. We enjoy the salvation, enjoy the eternal life because of his work through the Calvary cross.
بعد هو ملخص للكلام ده بالنسبة لي الرب يسوع نعرف عنه انه في انه كان الكلمة كان مع الله كل شيء به كان وبغيره لم يكن شيء مما كان فيه كانت الحياة والحياة نور الناس فده كان الرب في البداية كالخال اللي خلق و على ما قدرت أتابع على الجمل الكثيرة يعني انه احنا لينا كمان بالإيمان به نحن نحصل الآن على الحياة.
From this morning we thought about verse 15 again. When he says he is the image of God, we have to realize the tense here. It's encountering the present tense. He is the image of God, and when we read in Hebrews chapter 6 about the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 20, Jesus had become high priest, And in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, it said, who was born of the seed of David. I will read the verse from the beginning. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And we see that he became or who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But we didn't see here, we have to realize, he didn't say that he became the image of God. No, but he said he is the image of God.
نخلي بالنا انه في عدد 15 يقول الذي هو صورة الله ما يقولش الذي هو صار صورة الله لكن هو صورة الله لأنه هو كذلك منذ الأزل لكن يختلف مثلا عن التجسد الكلمة صار جسدا في وقت معين صار نقرأ عنه في عبرانيين أنه صار رئيس كهنة إلى الأبد ده كمان تم بعد التجسد والفداء كمان نشوف في روميا أنه صار من ذرية داود أو ولد من ذرية داود ده برضه عن التجسد دي حاجات زمنية أما كون صورة الله غير المنظور فده شيء في اعتباره الله الأزلي
When we say the word in him, all things were created. The word which is literally translated in him, but in some other translations came through him. It may suggest that in him was designed all the eternal counsels that brought in the wonderful word of creation. It wasn't something that came from at a time when it was created. It was in him, and also it involves the word by him, through him, all things were created.
كلمة فيه خلق الكل، نقدر نشوف فيها فكر المهندس البارع اللي صمم الخليقة، اللي كانت فكره من البداية التصميم، لكن بعد كده به قد خلق يده الفاعلة في الخليقة.
Really need to move on to some of the glories of his work.
نحتاج ان احنا نتقدم قدام شوية نتكلم عن الامجاد المختصة بعمله.
In the same way that he's presented as firstborn in two characteristics, we haven't really spoken much about the second. We'll have to touch on that as we deal with reconciliation. In the same way, reconciliation is seen in two aspects.
زي ما اتكلمنا عن كون البكر لي وجهتين، بكر كل خليقة وبكر من الأموات، ما اتكلمناش عنهم كتير، لكن يمكن نتكلم عن بكر من الأموات تاني بالاقتران مع عمل الصلح أو عمله.
He was the creator of all things, and by his work on the cross, he will in a future day be displayed as the reconciler of all things.
وكان خالق كل شيء، لكن عن طريق عمل الصليب سوف يستعلن في المستقبل باعتباره هو الشخص الذي قد صالح كل شيء.
This reconciliation of all things is connected with the fact that he shed his blood.
هذه المصالحة، مصالحة كل شيء، مرتبطة تماما بكونه قد سفك دمه.
It's the only time the shedding of his blood in scripture is connected with reconciliation.
ودي المرة الوحيدة في كلمة الله اللي نشوف في المصالحة مرتبطة بالدم.
Mostly when scripture speaks of reconciliation, it's speaking of the way we as believers are reconciled to God.
في اغلب الاحوال عندما كلمة الله تتكلم عن المصالحة تتكلم عن مصالحتنا نحن كمؤمنين مع الله.
And this is the second point made in verse 21 and 22.
وده الفكر الواضح في عدد 21 و 22.
Reconciliation of believers in Scripture is not connected with the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus, but with the giving up of his life and the bearing of the judgment of God in his own body.
أن مصالحة المؤمنين مع الله معتمدة على بذل جسده واحتماله دينونة من الله.
This is going to be so important for us as we progress into chapter 2, that God has removed everything that was offensive in us in the person of our substitute, the Lord Jesus, when he suffered the judgment of God in his body at the cross.
لأن الله أزال كل شيء أهان مده وأساء إليه في دينوناته التي وقعها على الرب يسوع المسيح في الصليب. Maybe you can expand a bit more about that, Greg, about the difference between judging things in his body and the shedding of the blood, because you said these are two different things.
If we read the general teaching of the New Testament, redemption is generally by blood.
تعليم العهد الجديد بصفة عامة يتكلم عن إنه الفداء يتم عن طريق الدم.
It involves the payment of a purchase price so that we might be set free from all that held us captive, set free from all that weighed upon our conscience, the cleansing blood of Christ.
كان لابد من الثمن يدفع. الثمن يدفع لكي يحررنا علشان ظهرنا من أو يحررنا من عبودية الشيطان والضمير كمان.
Whether Romans 5 or 2 Corinthians 5 or here in Colossians, reconciliation, in contrast, is always connected for believers with his body and his death.
لكن المصالحة نشوفها في رومية 5 وكورنثوس الثانية 5 وهنا إنها مرتبطة بجسده وموته.
As believers in Christ, it's not only necessary for us to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be cleansed, there's something else absolutely essential.
لأنه بالنسبة لنا كمؤمنين مش كفاية إنه نحن خطايانا تغفر ونفتدى، لكن في حاجة ثانية مهمة جدا.
We can summarize it this way: God has forgiven our sins, but God has not forgiven sin.
إنه الله غفر خطايانا لكن الله لم يغفر أبدا الخطية.
God has judged sin.
لكن الله قدام الخطية.
He's condemned the man that is the sinner.
وقد أدان الإنسان الذي هو خاطئ.
That's what Romans 8 verse 3 says. What the law could not do, the law could never do this, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, in sending His own Son in likeness of flesh of sin and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
وده اللي موجود في رومية 8 إنه في مكان الناموس عاجزا عنه في أنا أرى العدد ده لأنه في مكان الناموس عاجزا عنه في مكان ضعيف بالجسد فالله إذ أرسل ابنه في شبه الخطية ولأجل الخطية دان الخطية في الجسد.
And so here we find we are reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. The same kind of expression.
وعشان كده نلاقي نفس التعبير إن إحنا صلحنا مع الله بالموت في جسد المسيح.
The only way God could complacently express in an intimate way a relationship with us is if first everything that was offensive about us was dealt with in judgment at the cross and removed from his sight.
الطريق الوحيد اللي كان ممكن الله يتصالح معانا ويتعامل معانا انه كان لابد ان يوقع الدينونه على كل ما اهان مجده وكان ضد الله وده اللي تم في جسد المسيح على الصليب.
So this involves the two parts of the work of Christ. They're two parts with which we should be much more familiar than we are, because every week, week by week, the Lord Jesus has set those two parts of his work before us distinctly and separately in the emblems that are before us in the Lord's Supper. His body, his blood.
وعشان كده الفكر ده أو الحاجتين دول لازم يكونوا واضحين قدامنا في من أسبوع لأسبوع حتى وإحنا بنذكر موت الرب. عشان كده الرب حط هذين الحاجتين منفصلين عن بعض، موضوع الجسد اللي مصنعه بنشوفه في كأس الخبز والدم في الجسد.
إحنا ورثنا العداوة من آدم. الموت ينهي ارتباطنا بآدم الأول وانتسابنا ليه. الموت بيقطع الرباط القديم بآدم الأول.
We've inherited enmity from Adam, and death cuts or severs this relationship with first Adam.
This should realize this wonderful truth that it is through his death we are reconciled. Often it is preached that through the perfect life of Christ we are reconciled. But the perfect life of Christ had to be laid down and went into death that their reconciliation took place. The great barrier of sin, as I am, between God and man, was taken away by the death of Christ. The believer may enter in it by faith and be cleansed by his blood. Reconciliation doesn't speak in the first place about cleansing, but speak about the God again, as it were, he speaks with us. There is a relationship between us and God, which has been established through the death of Christ.
كثير من الناس تفكر ان احنا او خلصنا عن طريق حياه المسيح لكن احنا في الواقع او صلحنا عن طريق حياه المسيح الكامله لكن الحياه المصالحه تمت عن طريق الموت. الله ما قدرش يتكلم معانا ويصالحنا الا بعد ما نفذ حكم الموت في الانسان او ابن الانسان الرب يسوع المسيح. الدم كان لازم يطهرنا من خطايانا عشان نكون مطهرين، اما المصالحه تمت على اساس الموت مش على حياه المسيح لكن على اساس حياه المسيح التي اسلمت على الصليب.
I suppose we could say that creation itself was passively involved in Adam's fall, and in a non-active way of its own part, has been involved in the consequences of Adam's fall, and therefore the cleansing blood of Christ is sufficient to deal with that for God, so that through the ages of eternity, all creation will be pleasing to him.
علشان كده الخليقة في حد ذاتها كنا نقول عشان أسهل الترجمة لم تخطئ لكن الخطيئة الخليقة صارت في حالة الخطية بسبب خطأ آدم وبالتالي الخليقة مش محتاجة إلى بس إلى دم المسيح لكن ما ينطبقش عليها موضوع المصالحة محتاج الموت.
The words of an old gospel preacher ring in my ears. We were sinners by nature, we were sinners by practice, and we were sinners by choice. The Bible says here, alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works.
في تعبير يقول احنا خطاة بالطبيعة، خطاة بالممارسة، واحنا خطاة ايضا باختيارنا، وهو ده اللي يقول هنا ان احنا اجنبي اعداء في الفكر في الاعمال الشريرة.
Not only do we need the cleansing power of Christ's blood for our forgiveness, we ourselves needed to be changed. The old had to be set aside, removed by judgment, and replaced with the new.
بس احنا احتاجنا لتطهير خطايانا لكن احتاجنا انه القديم لابد انه يموت ويستبدل بالجديد.
We often illustrate the gospel with illustrations about a prisoner whose place was taken by another and so the prisoner was set free. But all those illustrations fall down because you can't illustrate the fact that the person has never been changed, the criminal who committed that crime. But reconciliation goes a step further than anything that we can possibly illustrate in that way. That Christ has borne the judgment, the one we've been speaking about, the creator of everything. He was made on the cross, made sin, represented there everything in its totality that was grossly offensive to God. The perfect one made sin because of what I had.
نمثل أو نعطي هذا المثل إنه واحد كان مجرم وأعفي عنه لكن هذا لا يغير من المجرم ما زال مجرم هو ده اللي عمله الرب يسوع في المسيح ده معنى المصالحة إنه تم العقاب وتم توقيع العقاب إنه الرب يسوع المسيح على الصليب صار خطية من أجلنا هذا الخالق العظيم له كل الأمجاد صار هو خطية من أجلنا ودينة الخطية فيه وعشان كده المصالحة أكتر أو أسمى من مجرد غفران الخطايا.
The Lord Jesus, the eternal one, the creator of life, the originator of life, became dead. And through this death, we, as believers, the assembly now is reconciled for a purpose. The purpose is displayed, so that we, by His grace, may display the life of Christ. I thought of this when I was in that hall and I saw it. On the wall, something about baptism, death, and then life beside it. Wonderful to see this. We must not forget, beloved, that baptism speaks about death and nothing else. The result of that death is life. And that is what we find here, that we are reconciled with the death of Christ. And now, by His grace, may display that wonderful truth.
هذا الشخص الخالق الحي مات، وهذا الموت كان لكي يستعلم. إحنا بنشوف المثل كده في المعمودية. المعمودية تتكلم فقط عن الموت، وهو ده الشيء اللي يستعلم في المعمودية.
ما علقناش على عدد 19 مع انه يعني مهم جدا لانه فيه سر ان يحل كل الملك.
We didn't comment on verse 19 although it's very important that in him the fullness was pleased to dwell all the fullness pleased to dwell.
هنا بيتكلم عن المسيح كانسان على الارض غير اللي جاية في أصحاح 2 فيه يحل كل ملء اللاهوت جسديا وهو إنسان في المجد. لكن بتاع أصحاح 1 بيتكلم عنه وهو هنا على الأرض فيه سر أن يحل كل الملء.
Here speaking about the Lord Jesus while here on earth, that in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and that's different from in chapter 2, that in him all the fullness of Godhead bodily. I'm going to read in English.
Yeah.
Verse 9. In him, for in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. That speaks about him being the man in glory.
هنا وهو على الأرض كل أمجاد اللاهوت وصفات اللاهوت كانت تحل في المسيح كإنسان، ولم تجد في هذا الإنسان شيء يعكر أو يكدر الصفات الإلهية.
While he was here on earth, all the characteristics and the glories of Godhead appeared in that man, and it didn't find in him being a man anything that would disturb at all the deity of Godhead as in being a man.
ليس فقط الروح القدس نازلا ومستقرا عليه كما رآه المعمدان في المعمودية.
Not only as the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling on him as the Baptist saw him in his baptism,
لكن كل اللاهوت كان يحل في المسيح كإنسان هنا على الأرض.
But all the fullness of Godhead was dwelling in him while he was here on earth.
I think maybe this may give us some light on verse 20 according to the J&D translation, which reads it differently from other modern other translations, to reconcile all things to itself. In other translations, we might read it to reconcile to himself, but probably as the fullness of the Godhead could dwell bodily in him here and find nothing that hinders the display of all the fullness and the characteristics of the wonderful Godhead. It is the same as being reconciled. Something different happens in our being as creatures, and at the creation will display this in the millennium age as well. We'll see something reconciled to itself as well.
المصالحة في داربي ترجمة داربي بدون إنه هو مصالحة كل شيء لنفسه نفس الأشياء يعني. ودي بنشوف فيها
هو الأخ باسم عايز طبعا تفضل بالعربي يا أخ باسم أنت أقدر واحد
يا ريت ترجم أحسن ترجم الفكرة
يعني نفس عدد 19 مرتبط بعدد 20 في المسيح كإنسان كل اللاهوت سر أن يحل ولم يجد شيء يعكر أو يكدر هذه الصفات الإلهية كانت في توافق تام مع هذا الإنسان على ذات القياس المصالحة لما تحصل بعد التشويش اللي خرب الإنسان وخرب الخليقة ستعود الخليقة في توافق تام ولا يوجد فيها شيء يغاير صفات الله وطبيعة الله ولا يعكر هذه الصفات الإلهية هتبقى في توافق تام كما أرادها الله وكما قصدها الله.
So, by the same measure that the fullness of Godhead appeared in the person of Christ being a man, and all the characteristics of Godhead were in harmony with his perfect humanity, the same thing when reconciliation going to happen, the whole creation would be in perfect harmony with the requirements or the characteristics of Godhead.
And what the wonder of it is that for us now, as believers, that's already true. It is to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it, before the Godhead. Yes. All of the qualities of the Godhead.
Yes.
Brought into a relationship where the whole Godhead sees us as holy and unblameable and irreproachable. Us, think of that.
Well, عشان كده هي نفس الصورة كمان نفس القياس بنشوف إنه المصالحة اللي تمت معنا مع أو لنا مع الله أحضرتنا قديسين بلا لوم ولا شكوى أمامه. يعني إحنا دلوقتي في حالتنا الحالية أمام الله في توافق تام مع صفاته وبره وقداسته. مين دول؟ إحنا. إحنا اللي في توافق بحالتنا دلوقتي في توافق مع الله.
يلفت نظرنا انه هو بيتكلم عن مصالحة الخليقة ما في السماوات ما على الارض ام ما في السماوات وما يقولش ما تحت الارض لانه عالم الاشرار والهالكين لن يتمتعوا بهذه المصالحة.
It is quite noticeable that the work of reconciliation concerning creation, it is for those who are on earth and those who are in heaven. It doesn't speak about those under the earth. So, because that world is not going to enjoy the work of reconciliation. Of reconciliation.
Exactly.
Brother Am is saying that to at his name every knee would bow, but that doesn't mean that they will be reconciled.
But there's a huge difference between reconciliation and submission. And here in the Philippians spoke about submission, and he said that every knee should bow, so those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth. But here the reconciliation is speak about the on the earth and in the heaven all the earth.
أن في فرق ما بين الخضوع والمصالحة. الكل سوف يخضع أما المصالحة سوف تشمل ما على الأرض وما في السماوات.
عن مصالحة المؤمنين يقول الآن في عدد 21 آخر كلمة. عن مصالحة الخليقة ما يقولش كلمة الآن.
In verse 21, concerning reconciliation of the believers, it says that yet now he has reconciled. So it is now reconciled, but concerning the creation, it's not now. It's going to happen.
That's a very important point for the rest of our readings, that the now and that we are brought in is that we are members of his body. So we are going to see what happens to us individually, what has happened to us individually, but the display is when we are together collectively as members of his body.
عشان كده مهم ان احنا نشوفه بعد كده في الرسالة ان احنا دلوقتي الآن قد صلحنا في علاقتنا مع بعض، أما استعلان المصالحة الكامل هيحصل عندما نستعلم كلنا بمجد في المستقبل.
And the gospel is to bring us not only to Christ and to God, but it's to bring us as well into practical work in the body.
وعمل المصالحة مش بس لكي يأتي بنا إلى المسيح والله لكن لكي يأتي بنا إلى شكل عملي كوننا الجسد.
And when we come into chapter 2 and we have all of the dangers outlined to us, we find many religious aspects to those dangers which speak against this wonderful truth.
ولما نيجي لأصحاح 2 اللي نشوف فيه كثير من المخاطر والتعاليم المشوهة اللي كانت موجودة هنشوف فيها إنه كثير بيتكلم عن تعاليم واتجاهات ضد ذلك الحق.
So we need to spend some time and understand these wonderful glories of his person, of his work, and of the consequences of that, because that's what's going to correct us when we are admonished when we move into chapter 2.
شكرا محتاجين نقضي وقت نعرف انه امجاد الشخص شخص المسيح وعمله ونتائج تلك العمل اللي ده هيخلينا يكون شيء من التحذير والتحريض لينا زي اللي احنا هنحتاجه في اصحاح 2.
So it leads us on to the aspect of what has the gospel brought about in our lives.
وده يقودنا الى عمل عمل الإنجيل في حياتنا.
We should then confine ourselves to these last six verses in the 15 minutes remaining in order to not miss really what forms mentioned yesterday the heart of the letter.
في ال 15 دقيقة اللي باقية وربع ساعة حاول نركز بست أعداد الأخرانيين اللي هنشوف فيها تقريبا قلب هذه الرسالة.
The Apostle Paul was given not only the ministry of the gospel but also the ministry of the assembly.
رسول بولس لم يعطى فقط خدمة الإنجيل لكن أيضا أعطي خدمة الكنيسة.
This was a ministry which was uniquely given to him. Others ministered the gospel.
دي كانت خدمة أعطيت بتميز له الباقي الخدام أو الرسل أعطوا بالنسبة للإنجيل.
It was a ministry without which the word of God would not be complete.
وخدمة يجب أن ننتبه إنه بدونها بكنش ممكن إن كلمة الله تكون مكتملة.
It's a ministry about a subject that was not known in Old Testament times could not be known.
خدمة بخصوص موضوع لم يكن معلن في العهد القديم ولا كان ممكن إنه يعلن في العهد القديم.
The overall theme is given the heading the mystery.
هذا الموضوع له عنوان اسمه السر.
The basis of this is presentation, and that is what you can see in verse 22, where we read it here, and to be reconciled to the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, irreproachable to before it. We have already commented it a little bit, but before it, this before the fullness of the Godhead, all that comprises God, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all united in a blessed person, through Him to be presented before Him. We have the similar presentation in Ephesians chapter 5. Where we have presentation, when the assembly is introduced to the Lord Himself, without spot, without wrinkle. Perhaps here we find the presentation with respect to our practical walk on earth, which was so necessary for these Colossians to be reminded of the dangers we were approaching or were already amongst them. And now they have to see that wonderful place which are placed before the Godhead.
الغرض من هذه الخدمة إنها تحضرنا أو تستعلمنا في حالة معينة. ملاحظوا ليحضركم صلاحكم لأن في جسم بشريتي بالموت ليحضركم قدسين وبلا لوم ولا شكوى أمامهم. أمامه هنا تعني أو تشير إلى اللاهوت في ثلاثة أقانيم. وده يمكن يختلف عن أفسس 5 لما بيقول لكي يحضرها لنفسه كنيسة مجيدة لا دنس فيها ولا غضن أو شيء من مثل ذلك. ده فيما يخص بالمسيح عروس المسيح. أما بالنسبة لنا كمؤمنين في سلوكنا العملي إحنا احتاج أن يكون في ذهننا وفكرنا أننا قدسين وبلا لوم ولا شكوى أمامه. ده بالتأكيد المقام والحالة اللي وصلنا ليها لكن اللي يجب أن يرتبط بيها مسؤوليتنا أيضا في الحياة العملية.
The apostle mentions here how this can be affected in a very practical way. It is through the blessed gospel which you have heard with glad tidings from the hope of the glad tidings which you have heard, which has been proclaimed in the whole creation, which is under heaven, of which Paul I became minister.
والرسول هنا يوضح لنا كيف يمكن أن يحدث ذلك زي ما كلمنا قبل كده أن دي عبارة عن فعالية الإنجيل معنا أو لنا كمؤمنين إن ثبتتم على الإيمان متأسسين وراسخين وغير متقلين عن رجاء الإنجيل الذي سمعتموه المكروز به في كل الخليقة الذي صرت أنا بولس خادما له.
Paul not only became a minister to creation, as we've heard, but to the assembly as well. God has given him many revelations and mysteries which he unfolded to us through the New Testament letters and through this letter as well.
بولس ما كانش بس خادم لي الخليقة لكن خادم لي الكنيسة اللي أعلن عن طريقه إعلانات كثيرة في رسالاته.
And this mystery here that we have is Christ in you. And every time Paul mentions you, he mentions the Gentiles to whom he's writing. And in here, Christ in the Gentiles, such a wonderful thing that was never known among the Old Testament believers and never known even during the days of the Lord when he was here on earth. But it was only given by special revelation to the Apostle Paul. And he was able to unfold that mystery of Christ being in the Gentiles.
هذا السر هو عبارة عن المسيح فيكم وده بالنسبة هذا الإعلان كون الأمم بكونوا الكنيسة وصار المسيح ممكن يكون فيهم ده الإعلان اللي أعلانه الرسول بولس اللي ما كانش معروف قبل كده ما كانش ممكن يستعرض قبل كده كمان.
Paul's ministry to the assembly commenced was given to him on the road to Damascus when the voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?
خدمة الرسول المتعلقة بالكنيسة بدأت في الواقع من وقت ما تقابل معه الرب في الطريق إلى دمشق لما قال له شاول شاول لماذا تضطهدني أنا؟
The work of the Lord on the cross led to the existence of the masterpiece that he was looking forward to enjoy, which is the church. But he would say that we have been reconciled, but the creation itself has not yet been reconciled. The reconciliation of the creation will be in the future. The church will be lifted up.
عمل المسيح على الصليب أدى إلى تكوين الكنيسة الشيء العظيم لكن إحنا عارفين مصالحتنا تمت أما الخليقة فسوف تصالح في المستقبل.
The gospel was not a mystery. Christ was not a mystery. Glory was not a mystery. Glory where Gentiles are brought into blessing was not a mystery. All of those things are very well known in the Old Testament. Some of us were speaking over dinner last night about the book of Isaiah, often called the evangelical prophet. All of those things are clearly presented in the book of Isaiah.
المجد ما كانش سر. الإنجيل ما كانش سر. لأنه في رسالة سفر إشعياء يتكلم عن الأخبار الطيبة عن الكلام عن محتوى أو محتوى الإنجيل فده لم يكن السر.
Chapter 60, verse 3, just one example. You can almost open Isaiah anywhere. And the Gentiles shall walk by thy light, and the kings by the brightness of thy rising. Christ among Gentiles, a blessing to Gentiles, when the glory had come, was not a mystery.
كون المسيح وتواجده في وسط الأمم وكان سبب بركة للأمم ومجده ظهر ده في حد ذاته لم يكن سر.
But before the glory comes, while the glory is still a hope, Christ in Gentiles was completely unknown.
لكن قبل ما يأتي المجد كون المسيح في الأمم ده شيء ما كانش معروف.
How many times did the apostles say to the Jews, stop whinging about the Gentiles being blessed? The Old Testament talks about the Gentiles being blessed.
كم مرة الرسول يقول لليهود بطلوا شكوى وتذمر على انه الامم بيباركوا مع العهد القديم فيه الامم بيباركوا برضه.
But only to the Apostle Paul was this mystery revealed that Christ, that believers would be united together, Jew and Gentile, united to the head in heaven, united by the Holy Spirit, the head in heaven, our fullness, the head in heaven dwelling in us. These things were unknown in the Old Testament times. Complete mystery.
أما اتحاد الأمم مع اليهود في جسد واحد ولهم الرأس الممجد في السماء والجسد له ملء الرأس والرأس حال في الجسد المسيح فينا هذا هو السر الذي لم يكن معلنا في العهد القديم.
And this is not when the glory has come. It's while the glory is still a hope. It's while we're still living in a world where suffering is necessary, where a man like the Apostle Paul, given such an exalted position by God in connection with the assembly, has to say, I rejoice in sufferings for you. The period of time in which we live is a period characterized by sufferings, not by glory. It's not for, as people think, it's the church militant, triumphant, ruling and reigning the world and influencing society with Christian influence. No, it's a time of suffering, while glory is still a hope, but with this wonder that Christ is in us.
هذا السر العظيم هو المسيح فينا. هذا الشيء الذي حدث وحادث الآن قبل استعلان المجد. في الحقيقة أن الوقت اللي احنا عايشين فيه ده مش وقت المجد. المجد ده هي. لكن ده وقت الآلام. يقولنا الرسول الذي أنا أفرح في آلامي لأجلكم. بعض المسيحيين يتصوروا أنه مجد الكنيسة سوف يستعلن هنا. هو ده المجد الكنيسة بليان سلطان وكيان. لكن الوقت اللي احنا عايشين فيه ده وقت الآلام مش وقت المجد. المجد سوف يأتي في المستقبل.
I want to ask the question, what's that concerning the reconciliation of the creation, a reconciliation for us? I understand the work of Christ to reconcile us with God the Father. He's interested in the human being. As he said in the Proverbs, my delight is the Son of Man. The whole issue is concerning the Son of Man, the Adam and his generation, which we are, to reconcile us, because when we sin, Christ died for our sins and raised for our justification. Thus I understand this reconciliation for us, but reconciliation for the creation, I don't understand it. That he is shedding his precious blood to clean us from sin. And John says, this is the Son of God, take away the sin of man, take the sin of the world. But the reconciliation of creation, what is our position? We know the church has been chosen in the time of grace, but we understand the reconciliation with the old the nation, which is a Jewish nation, so they have different promises. But I cannot distinguish between the reconciliation for Christ to die in the cross for us, to lift up our, to cleanse our sin, and the reconciliation of the creation. Can anyone hear that?
السؤال هو أنا فاهم طبعا موضوع المصالحة الإنسان الإنسان لما كان في لدى الله من الأول اللذاتي مع بني آدم لكن إيه علاقة ده بمصالحة الخليقة؟
It's not for us, it's for God.
طبعا موضوع مصالحة الخليقة لا يرتبط بينا لكن ده يرتبط بالله.
You think Romans 8 helps us a little bit on the relationship in relation to the reconciliation of creation, where it speaks of in verse 19, for the anxious looking out of the creature expects the revelation of the sons of God, for the creature has been made subject to vanity, not of its will, but by reason of him who has subjected to the same, in hope that the creature itself also shall be set free from the bondage of creation into the liberty of the glory of the children of God.
رومية 8 يمكن يساعدنا في أنه بيقول كده لأن انتظار الخليقة توقع استعلان أبناء الله إذ اقتطعت الخليقة للبغض ليس طوعا بل من أجل الذي أقطعها على الرجاء لأن الخليقة نفسها أيضا ستعتق من عبودية الفساد.
This is setting free from bondage, which is really redemption, the redemption of the acquired possession that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 1. But reconciliation is for God. This is for creation. Reconciliation is for God. Hebrews tells us almost all things are purified by blood. We learn that even the heavens themselves are defiled on account of sin. God is not at rest. He rested on the seventh day after 6 days of creation, but his rest was short-lived. And the Lord Jesus said, my Father is working up until now, and I work. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are still working. And not until that day, when everything is set complacently before God in satisfaction and rest, it says he'll rest in his love. All creation, even the heavens, will be completely cleansed and brought into a condition where God is fully at rest.
المصالحة أمر يتعلق بالله. الله في الخليقة المكتوب عنه أنه استراح في اليوم السابع، لكن هذه الراحة لم تستمر طويلا بسبب أنه دخول الخطية قد دنس الخليقة كلها. الخليقة كلها بقت في البطء والخطية، وكان لابد أنها مش بس تعطى اللي هو فكرة في روميا، لكن أيضا تصالح مع الله. وعشان كده الرب يقول أنه أبي يعمل والآن لا أعمل. اللاهوت المثلث كان يعمل من أجل إجراء هذه المصالحة التي سوف تتم في المستقبل على حساب دم المسيح الذي سفك. لابد أن تعاد الخليقة إلى نصابها الصحيح، إلى وضعها الصحيح الذي يتوافق مع الخالق. وعشان كده يقول معرفين أن كل حاجة مصالحة بالدم، أن كل شيء تقريبا يتطهر بالدم كما في رسالة العبرانيين، لكن يقول في الآخر أن الرب استراح في محبته. هي دي الراحة النهائية، عندما تعود يعود كل شيء إلى وضعه الصحيح.
Later on, when the Lord appears to purify the earth and cleanse the earth, well, there must not be any groaning. So the creation will be reconciled.
Redeemed from bondage, yeah. But the reconciliation brings us back to the burnt offering aspect of the death of Christ. That God smelled sweet savour. It's in the work of Christ, fulfilled on the cross, that God can rest.
إن عمل المصالحة هو في الواقع اللي الأمر اللي يشم الله رائحة طيبة، إن كل شيء رجع طبيعي. الله سر إنه كل شيء رجع طبيعي أو رجع كما خلقه.
Paul started this section back in verse 9, saying that you may be filled with the full knowledge of God's will. And he finishes off in this section about this mystery, saying, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, to the end that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And what we've covered in this reading and in the previous reading is to bring us to an appreciation, a greater understanding, to be more filled with the knowledge of the will of God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our part in it now. And if we haven't understood it all that well, then we are being admonished. Admonished in Scripture means being challenged. And we are being taught, because as we go on, we need to be firm, founded and firm on these things. And that's what he's trying to bring out successfully, we believe, so that we will be perfect in Christ.
كان صلاة الرسول من البداية إنهم أو مش صلاة الرسول بس، لكن إذا سمعنا كان اجتماع صلاة إنه بيصلوا من أجل يمتلئوا من معرفة مشيئته في كل حكمة وفهم روحي. هذه كانت غرض الصلاة، أن نمتلئ من معرفة المشيئة في كل حكمة في كل فهم. لكن إن لم نكن قد وصلنا لكذا، الرسول كان بيشرح وبيتكلم هذا الكلام، وغرضه إنه احنا لابد ان احنا نتاسس ونتاصل في هذا الحق. وعشان كده لنا هذا الانذار نتعلم. والغرض من الانذار والتعليم ان احنا نوصل الى هذه الحاله ان يكون نحضر كل انسان بكل حكمه انسانا كاملا في المسيح يسوع.
I think that's a helpful summary to finish our reading on.